He picks up his cell phone, punches in however many numbers, gets his son on the phone, who's in Columbus, Ohio, says, here, talk to your cousin. And so there we were in Alvito, Italy, talking to somebody in Columbus.
Greetings. Welcome to the Voices at the Point podcast. This voice you hear is Michelle Azinger. I've answered phone calls, given wake-up calls, and listened to countless and amazing stories from the one in a million Voices at the Point. So today I will introduce you to one. We're here with Eileen Jacobs. How are you today?
Doing very well today.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
It's nice to be here.
Just wanted to get an idea of your life before Providence Point, and then, of course, your choice to move here. So can you tell me, where did you grow up? Are you a lifetime Pittsburgher?
Yes, I am. I was born in the city of Pittsburgh, over in the western side in Sheridan.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so I, you know, grew up there. My family was all there, all my cousins. On the street where I lived at first, there were six houses, four of them were family members.
Oh my gosh.
So I had cousins and aunts and uncles and great aunts and my great grandmother and everybody right on the same street. So that was really a really nice situation.
Right. Oh, that's a great way to grow up.
I went to at Langley High School, also in the city, and went there for 4 years. And from there, I went to IUP for my undergraduate degree. I was an English education major at Indiana. From there, let's see, I got married, I taught in Penn Trafford for 1 year. That's a little school. Well, it's
out
a big
West
school now.
Westmoreland County. It's a big school
now. It's a big school now. Well, I was at Trafford Junior Senior High School. It was before the merger. We left Pennsylvania, moved to Maryland because the pay was a lot better in Maryland at that time. And while we were at both of those jobs, we, as teachers, had to get permanent certification. So we started going to Colorado State University in the summer, where tuition was a booming $16 a credit.
Oh, my gosh. But you actually had to go there,
We had to go there.
Before
but it was a vacation.
School.
It was a vacation also because we, you know, we could drive across country. We could stop and see, you know, Mount Rushmore and, you know, Devil's Tower and all the various things that are between Pittsburgh and Fort Collins, which is where the town was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, how often did you do that? I mean, you act like you commuted, but there's, that's definitely not a commute.
No, we went in the summers, the summer of 69, 70, and then the summer of 71, we picked up and moved there. My husband was hired as a teaching assistant. So we quit our jobs and went to Colorado full-time for 2 years. Came back to Pennsylvania. Jobs and family brought us back.
Oh, nice.
And it took a while before I got a job. It was at a time when a lot of us baby boomers were in the market as teachers, and there weren't many open positions. I eventually then got hired at Mount Lebanon, where I spent the next 29 years teaching English, journalism, a variety of elective courses. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite was the Irish, a semester course in Irish Lit.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Oh, how interesting.
It was, yeah. So retirement, my husband retired before I did, and you know, we did a lot of traveling, went back to Colorado quite frequently, even while we were teaching. Well, we have friends out there that we maintain contact with, and you know, it was nice to go back. Mm-hmm. Traveled to Europe several times. I have one really good story about traveling to Europe.
Oh, please share.
My husband's family, Jacobs doesn't sound Italian. It was Iacoboni. Okay. So we go to the little town where his grandparents lived, where they grew up and they emigrated from. And we get to this town. There's nobody, no transportation, so we have to hire a driver. So we hire Narduch. Narduch has a ponytail and, you know, he's a free spirit. He takes us to the cemetery where Charlie's great uncle is buried. His great uncle he knew because he had come to the States and then gone back to Italy. And so while we're at the cemetery, you know, at that grave, Narduch says, oh, why are you with dead people? Why are you not with living people? It turns out he did have family in that town. So we go, and I'm shortening this, we go to one of the houses, knock on the door. A woman answers it, who is the identical image to Charlie's grandmother. It's his grandmother's great-granddaughter.
Oh, my.
The daughter had stayed in Italy. The grand, at any rate, Charlie's Italian isn't very good. Her English isn't very good. But the Narducci says, "Your family from America." And she says, "Pittsburgh."
She knew
that's where the family had gone, okay? She invites us back for dessert after dinner. We had made arrangements for dinner already. So we come back after dinner, and we're struggling to communicate.
Still have Narducci with you. He would have been a good translator.
Well, his English was his English wasn't so good, but he was there. I mean, he stayed. I mean, he's part of everything in this little town.
Oh my gosh!
So we're there and trying to struggle, and she brings out this bag of pictures that her grandfather had brought back from America. He had been the butler for Colonel Rockwell of Rockwell International. So he goes back and he retires in style, builds this lovely house. And she says, who are in these pictures? It's pictures of my husband and his brother when they were young. There's a picture of my husband about 8 years old holding his younger brother on his lap. There are pictures of all the family, but they didn't, in Italy, they did not know who these people were that message had gotten. Next thing. Guy comes into the house, knocks on the door, comes in. It's the brother of the woman there, and he's swearing in English. Blankety, but I won't swear. And my husband says, "Wait, we're here struggling in Italian, and you speak English." He said, "I should. I lived in Columbus and Detroit for 15 years. My son is still in Columbus." So he picks up his cell phone, punches in however many numbers, gets his son on the phone, who's in Columbus, Ohio, says, "Here, talk to your cousin." And so there we were in Alvito, Italy,
talking to somebody
in Columbus. And that relationship, we get home and there's a phone call waiting for us. "My mother wants to meet you. You come this weekend." I mean, it was...
So you come to Columbus.
Come to Columbus this weekend. So we go to Columbus. We meet everybody. That relationship, even now that Charlie's gone, I am still invited to everything.
Oh, you know, how fun.
I've got a wedding coming up in November that they, you know, because of the connection. But isn't that a great story?
That's a wonderful story.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you still talk to Narducci?
No.
That's amazing,
yeah,
though.
Yes. And we've been back twice more to visit them in this little town in Italy. They gave us a house for the summer one time we went.
Oh, my gosh.
The folks in Columbus own the house in Alvito, so they weren't using it that summer. So we spent time in their house in this little town. Not about a two-hour train ride south of Rome. Is where we spent much of the time. Then we can make little trips here. They let us use their car, you know.
Oh, that's
everything.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like the makings of a National Lampoon's Vacation movie, you know. Now, when did your husband change your name from, is it Iacoboni?
Well, his
to
dad
Jacobs?
Did. His dad did. His dad went from being Tony Iacoboni to Charlie Jacobs, the same name as my husband,
right.
And Charlie. But in that little town south of Pittsburgh, you don't get hired on the railroad if you're Italian.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Charlie's grandfather, the brother of the guy who was the butler for Rockwell, he worked for Sarah B. Cochran at Linden Hall. You may have heard of it. It's a golf resort now.
Yes.
And his grandfather was the caretaker of all the grounds. And she wasn't crazy about having a foreign named person working for her. So she started calling him Jacobs. And Charlie's dad, when he graduated from high school, changed his name.
That's interesting.
Legally.
Well, thank you. That was a great story.
Yeah.
So how did you make your way to Providence Point?
Okay. So Charlie and I lived in Mount Lebanon for, I believe it was 37 years. After he died, I stayed in the house for 5 more years. But it was getting to be a lot. Prior to Charlie's passing, we had talked about places like this, although we had never come to visit any of it. And it turns out that Ricardo here is a friend. My husband was in an Italian conversation class with him.
Oh, wow.
And so he invited me and Narina Dobner to come and you know, one of the luncheons.
Right.
Now, Narina didn't come right away, but I did. You know, when I got here and I saw what it was like and how, you know, it fit me, it fit my lifestyle, I moved here. And then about two years later, Narina also moved here. So it's you know, our friend Ricardo who brought me here, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, we do offer a variety of activities here, yes, at Providence Point.
Yes.
Do you have one that is your favorite that you particularly enjoy?
Whew. Among activities, I belong to the needlework group. I really like that. In fact, when I'm done with this interview at 3:00, I'll be going over there. It's, you know, people do knitting, some do cross stitching, some do crocheting, some do, you know, any kind of handiwork. And it's just, you know, a nice group to get together with. As far as other activities that I regularly attend, I love all the musical concerts that we have here. And I try to go to all of those that I can.
Yeah, we do have a lot. There's a lot of really great things coming through.
And before I had my hip replaced, I used to participate in the Zumba class and things like that. But I guess it's time for me to get back to it. The hip's a year old now.
I think it's probably time to break it in.
It should probably hold.
Right.
I'm also on the resident council, and I've been secretary now for 3 years on the resident council. And I am the editor of The Viewpoint, the quarterly magazine or newsletter that actually on next week we're having a little get together of some people who want to maybe do some rethinking of what that is and maybe think about coming out a little more frequently. I was printing Christmas pictures in March, you know, because of the way the time fell. Yeah. And now there's a fellow who takes pictures now that Tara is putting online.
So he's amazing.
They're gorgeous.
They are.
Yes. So that has taken that off the plate. And so I've asked for volunteers to come and, you know, maybe do some rethinking of how often and, you know, what's the purpose, who decides, you know, what goes into it, and who does the editing, who does the layout, that sort of thing. Because I'm doing it all now, and that's too much.
Thank you for listening to the Voices at the Point podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Providence Point, please visit us at www.providencepoint.org and follow us on Facebook at Baptist Senior Providence Point and Instagram at Baptist_Senior_Providence.